Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Easter was nearly 6 months ago, and today we are singing some Easter hymns. Our first hymn, our first distribution hymn, and our closing hymn are all Easter hymns. And while Sundays are always a celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, today's gospel acutely brings us back to Easter joy, which is fitting, given that last week our Lord taught us not to be anxious, do not be filled with worry, because God knows the things that we need and he will provide for them. And now he shows that if he can raise the dead, he can certainly also provide for the needs of those who call upon his name. So today's stunning miracle teaches us why we need not worry. For Jesus is the Lord of life, and he has swallowed up death in victory. The short account, this short gospel reading, is very rich. Many different angles could be taken, and therefore it is impossible, in my opinion, to cover all aspects of it in a single sermon. It is my prayer that you will be edified and comforted as you hear how Christ truly fulfilled his promise that he will take care of us so that we do not need to be anxious. Now, this point in our Lord's ministry, Jesus had performed all the miracles that would be expected of the coming Messiah except for one. Jesus was anointed as the anointed one in his baptism. He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and withstood the temptations of Satan. He preached the word of God with authority. He healed people of various diseases, ailments, and illnesses. He even cast out unclean spirits. He forgave sinners, and he appointed 12 men to be apostles. But there is one thing that is lacking to confirm Jesus as the promised Messiah, and that is raising the dead, something that God had done as Elijah had prayed for hundreds of years earlier. And so Luke reports that the day after Jesus healed the centurion's servant at Capernaum, Jesus drew near to a city called Nain, a word which means beautiful. The town of Nain was in a lush valley by the foot of a mountain called Little Hermon, which may well be the mount where Jesus preached his Sermon on the Mount, words that we heard last week when Jesus bidded us not to worry. And a few miles to the west of Nain stands Mount Tabor, which rises 1,600 feet, and it may have been the location where Jesus was transfigured, although that had not yet happened by this point in our Lord's ministry. Now, despite the beauty of this lush town, where it is believed that the people had above average income due to the resources and due to the excellent growth of crops in that town, despite the beauty that it had, something common lingered among them, a stench, a sorrow, for it also stood as the valley of the shadow of death. Something that is common of all places, no matter how beautiful they may be. Even with all the advancements in medicine in our day, death still reigns. While life expectancy has risen in places where people enjoy good nutrition and excellent health care, the reality is we still face death, and it comes to all people. Death does not ignore the wealthy, the famous, or the strong. With sin comes death, and all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Now, death often seems unfair. Those who experience sudden death have their lives shortened and leave behind grieving loved ones who did not get to say goodbye. Death hits young and old. In today's gospel, we are introduced to a woman who is already widowed. Her husband had died, and now her only son is also dead, adding, so to speak, insult to injury. Thankfully, she didn't live in India or Scandinavia at the time. For 2,000 years ago, those cultures, they saw it fit to burn widows, deeming them as less than human, for they had no man to serve as their head. That practice in Scandinavia ended with Christianity's influence over a millennia ago, and it ended in India in 1829, when Britain, who ruled over the country, banned it, also thanks to the influence of Christianity. Yet this widow suffered in the sense that there was no longer a head in her household. With her husband dead and now her son, who would have carried on the mantle of being the head, she had lost all rights in society. However, she was not alone. Accompanying her to the cemetery was a great crowd. They were leaving this beautiful hamlet of Nain in order to bury her son. They were grieving with her. They felt compassion with her and on her. Instead of viewing the widow as worthless, as many ancient cultures did, through Christianity, widows are now viewed as having great value. The Bible instructs Christians to care for widows, and God has charged widows with a very important task, and that is to engage in prayer. Jesus serves as the example par excellence when he approaches this grieving widow. He has compassion on her. He doesn't put a cold shoulder to her because there is no man in her house. Instead, having this deep-seated compassion for her, he tells her, "Do not weep." These words of Jesus are not empty words that people often say when they say, "Don't worry, be happy," to those who are grieving. But he says these words, "Do not weep," for an important reason. And that is what he was about to do to this son of hers. He knew that her tears of sorrow would be turned into joy as he raises her from the dead. And so then Jesus stops this procession and he touches the open coffin. Now normally, that would be defiling the body. It would be those who touch a coffin, those who touch a dead body are considered unclean. But Jesus, who is holy, cleanses that body of death. For Jesus speaks and it is done. He declares, "Young man, I say to you, arise," and this dead man, who is truly dead, it's not like he was unconscious, he who was dead sat up and he began to speak. This man who was dead did not rise as some sort of zombie, but he truly rose bodily from the dead. His body and his soul were reunited. His heart, which had stopped beating, began beating, and his voice returned. He truly lived. At this, Jesus is then confirmed as the promised Messiah, the one who would defeat the devil, the one who would grant the people peace with God, the one who would reconcile them to their Father in heaven. And so the people rightly testified, "God has visited his people." They rightly acknowledged by saying this that Jesus is God. And St. Luke, for the very first time in his gospel, describes Jesus, names Jesus as Lord. That was found in verse 13, where Luke writes, "When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her." Only God can do such great things. He made the deaf hear and the mute speak. He turns our hearts of stones into hearts of living faith. And now he shows that he has power even over death by raising the dead. The resurrection at Nain demonstrates that Jesus is truly Lord and God, and his work reveals that he is the prophet promised of old. Now, all of us are subject to death. We find ourselves to be powerless over it. We can fight it, and we certainly do. And we can do whatever possible to make ourselves look young or feel young, but that does not stop death from making its way toward us. Yet what Jesus did is he stopped death in its tracks, not only by raising this young man from the dead, but by also rising from the dead himself. You see, even Jesus, the sinless Son of God, was subject to death. Not because he had sin, for he was without sin, but instead the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus was held accountable for all of our sin. And the wages of sin is death. And so he suffered death in our place. He was sentenced to die on the cross. He was held guilty in our place, and he died, so that we can be released from our captivity to sin, death, and Satan. Yet the grave could not contain the one who was accountable for the world's sin. The weight of sin, the world's sin upon him, and the sting of crucifixion could not keep our Lord Jesus Christ in the tomb. For conquering Satan and swallowing up death and taking away the sin of the world, Jesus rose victoriously from the grave. The battle has been won, and the victory is earned by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, all that unfairness concerning death, frankly, death is what we deserve for our sins, and Jesus did not deserve to die. However, we deserve to die not just physically, but eternally for our many sins. And yet Jesus has taken all our sin away so that we no longer live with the burden of facing eternal death. We are redeemed as God's own children, and therefore we know with complete confidence that as Jesus raised the widow's son at Nain from the dead, we too will live. When we breathe our last and enter the sweet sleep of death, our souls continue to live. They join our Lord in the gates of paradise in the land of living. We are received into glory. And when Jesus returns, those bodies that we have ever so carefully laid in the grave will be raised. We will be raised as perfect humans. Our bodies and souls will be reunited, and we will live eternally with our Lord, who is victorious and who will recreate the heavens and the earth. At that time, there will no longer be any sting to death. In fact, there will be no more death. Change and decay will not be all around. The new creation will be glorious, and we look forward to that day. Truly, the life of the world to come will be the fulfillment of Nain, as beautiful and as lush as the countryside was at Nain with those majestic mountains nearby, the recreated and perfect earth will be even more beautiful. And so we carry on in this life with complete confidence that as Christ lives, so shall we. We live in confidence that Christ, who has the power over death, will grant us everlasting life, as he forgives us and covers us with his very righteousness. Our lives here will remain full of pain and suffering. Death still looms over us, but we no longer look at death as that great and final enemy. Instead, we know death serves as an entrance to paradise, and God receives us into his everlasting kingdom. Jesus accompanies every funeral march, having compassion on all who grieve and call upon his name. And so while we grieve the death of loved ones, we also look forward to the blessed day of the resurrection in which our bodies will be made perfect and all who abided in Christ will live together in perfect harmony. Sin will no longer be ruining things. And while we grieve, we know that the time of our separation is temporary, and yet the time of our being together upon the resurrection will be eternal. For this we do as the people did when Jesus presented the widow's son back to his mother. They gave glory to God. Today, God is glorified as we submit to God's life-giving, life-changing word. God is glorified as we boldly and loudly sing praises in his name, both here in the divine service and in our daily lives. God is glorified when we gather around Christ's gifts, baptizing our children and proclaiming the Lord's death as we receive the body and blood of Christ. God is glorified when we realize that time is not our own and that we give this hour at the beginning of the week to our Lord, who gives us so much more in return. And God is glorified as we learn not to be anxious, but to commend all things to Christ, who comforts us, who is our head and is in charge of all things. Last week, we heard Jesus teach us not to be filled with worry or anxiety as he preached his Sermon on the Mount. He taught us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the needs of our life will be granted to us. This week, we hear why we can be so confident with those words of Jesus. They are not empty words, but they are the words of God. Jesus demonstrates and gives us sure and certain proof and hope that even death is subject to Jesus. Jesus is the victor who grants us the victory. And Jesus is now our brother, for we have been adopted into God's family by virtue of our baptism. And Jesus has compassion on us, and he certainly takes care of all our needs to life everlasting. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.